بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. People want to know what is the Abrahamic Accord. It is easy to give your own 2 cents and 2 pence. But is it fair to the person whose name is being taken? This is the person we are talking about. These are his statements, and I'm giving my own interpretation for what he's saying. So the most honest thing is that what he had to say about his accord, Ibrahim alayhi salam himself, what he had to say. Forget what Zayd and Bakr is saying. What the man himself had to speak about his accord. Obviously, there can't be anything more accurate than the personality himself. I can attribute and misattribute. But then, the checkpoint would be the personality himself. What did he say? If what you are saying is totally in conformity, very good. Otherwise, then correct yourself. So when you talk of Ibrahim alayhi salam, then he had an accord. So what was the accord? He started off from his home, his countrymen, and to his people. So what was his address? So the address was the same to his home, to his countrymen, and to people at large. لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. Says, you want to coexist, then you see this idols, senseless things, then how can you worship? And then he doesn't mince his words. We think at times that by using some diplomacy, and we'll get somewhere. So if diplomacy was the way, then the first person that would have used it was Ibrahim alayhi salam, is a Nabi, and we are asked to follow him and emulate him. So if that diplomacy was the way, then he would have used it definitely. But he didn't mince his words. He said straight, don't talk. Straight words, of mincing his words, clearly. It said, La ta'abudu shaitan. That what you're doing is satanic worship. So, those that are talking about coexisting, etc., right, are they in tune with Abrahamic accord or not? He's going one way, he says, this is satanic worship. Right. And then he warns them after that. إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَن يَمَسَّكَ عَذَابٌ مِّنَ الرَّحْمَنِ. I fear if you will continue like this, then you are waiting for trouble. You get into Jahannam. وَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Waiting for Jahannam. And you will be a companion and accomplice of shaitan in Jahannam after that. So can you see his words? How clear? Was there any contamination, any mixture, any confusion? Clear. لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. Ya Abati, he's got the respect for his father. He didn't lose the respect. Ya Abati, لَا تَعْبُدِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Don't get into satanic worship. إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَن يَمَسَّكَ عَذَابٌ مِّنَ الرَّحْمَنِ فَتَكُونَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيًّا. You want to carry on, then you're getting to Jahannam, and you will be an accomplice with shaitan in Jahannam. So can you see his words? Clear, distinct, no contamination, no mix-up. And then when the father could not stomach this, so the father is rebuking him, أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِيَتِي أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِيَتِي And he says after that, لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيًّا. So he is clear about it. His father is clear about it. Father says, you are discouraging me, you're stopping me from my ways. So you carry on, I'm going to stone you to death. So leave me for a long time, just get away from me. Can you see now what was his way, Ibrahim alayhi salam's way, and you see his father's way? I say, was there any diplomacy used in that? Any hypocrisy in that? Any confusion, complication? Straight. Now that's the address used to his father. Then his countrymen, أُفِّلْ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ أَفَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَدُرُّكُمْ. You're worshipping the senseless things. Get away with all your worships. Scrap it. Can you see the language that Ibrahim alayhi salam is speaking? أُفِّلْ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. I've got nothing to do with you. I'm away from you. Broken away. So he starts off in the home, then gets on to the countrymen, until it comes to a head. When it comes to a head, then they say, because they are in might, they are in control, but as a duty, as man commissioned by Allah Ta'ala, his duty, executing his duty to Allah Ta'ala, was much more important than learning to coexist. His duty to Allah Ta'ala was much more important than learning to coexist. And then what this resulted in. So they say, حَرِّقُوهُ وَانْسُرُوا آلِهَتُكُمْ. Burn him. So you see the stance that he's taken. I ask you, is there any diplomacy in that? Any confusion? Any complication? Any mix-up? Any contamination? Right? And then what response he's got? حَرِّقُوهُ وَانْسُرُوا آلِهَتُكُمْ. Burn him. And he's still not desisting. They threw him into the fire, and he's not desisting. No, alright, no, I'm sorry about it. I didn't mean this, but perhaps we can learn to coexist. You go your way. He didn't use that language. We must learn to tolerate each other, you know. Because we are living now with so many multiple religions, so we have to learn to coexist. Did he say use that language? So they went to that point of saying, حَرِّقُوهُ وَانْسُرُوا آلِهَتَكُمْ. Burn him. So that is the Abrahamic accord. And then he says, see, if you can't tolerate me, then أَعْتَزِلُكُمْ. If I got a message, I'm commissioned by Allah Ta'ala, I'm going to deliver my message. And if you can't enjoy me, and I'm going to be aggressive, then I'll move away. أَعْتَزِلُكُمْ. We can't be living together. For now, if you say, no, we need to learn to coexist and tolerate each other, etc. Now, is it in keeping with the Abrahamic accord? Ask yourself. He spoke to them straight, and then when they couldn't tolerate him, he says, now I'll move on. أَعْتَزِلُكُمْ. I'll move away from you and your worship. So, in a place where your worship is, I'm not going to be there. You're going to be worshipping your cross or your idols, etc. I got nothing to do with it. I'm moving away from you and your worship. أَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَأَتَذْكُرَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. So he's moved away from his home, from his folks and everything. He moved away from everything. And when he moved away, that was the point of his continuity. See, we want to coexist so that we can continue. So when he moved away, then that was the point of his continuity. فَلَمَّا اعْتَزَلَهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَكُلًّا جَعَلْنَا نَبِيًّا وَهَبْنَا لَهُم مِّن رَّحْمَتِنَا وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ عَلِيًّا. So that prosperity came, the coexistence came, the existence came, the prosperity came at which point? فَلَمَّا اعْتَزَلَهُمْ, when he moved away. So then we blessed him with Ishaq and Yaqub, all Nabis. كُلًّا جَعَلْنَا نَبِيًّا. So the prosperity, the continuity came when he separated himself. If he showed us all, like, must coexist like this, then would he have been blessed like this? Allah says, when he separated, when he moved on, then we blessed him. Not at the time that he was with them, but at the time, at the point that he moved away. And that's everybody's dream, that there must be a continuity, there must be a succession plan, right? To what I'm doing, to my business, to my prosperity, there must be a continuity. So the prosperity came when he separated himself. So if the prosperity was in joining, Allah wouldn't have said, فَلَمَّا اعْتَزَلَهُمْ. And then not only that, وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ عَلِيًّا, right? Simple words, that name stood after that. For the rest of time, now you look up at that name, لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ عَلِيًّا, Allah gave him a name for the generations to come. So the righteousness and the goodness, nubuwat, and if you look at the material side, I don't talk about it, the material side, even as far as the name is concerned, Allah allowed the name to endure. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ عَلِيًّا, for generations to come, that was the name to go by. That was like a branded name. That was the branded name. Now, one is the Abrahamic accord, right? And then, one is the legacy that he left behind. So one is the accord, what he stood up for, what he lived for, what he signed and agreed on. That was the accord. He signed, he agreed, he lived for, he died for, was prepared to allow himself to be burnt and roasted, everything. So that was the accord. That's what he lived up for. And he didn't mince his words. Straight, clear. Uff, I've got nothing to do with it. See, that word, uff, is such a severe word that when you're talking to your parents, and don't use the word oof, because it's an aggressive word. Don't use this word. But now, can you imagine the height of his hatred? Uffil lakum, get away, I don't want to. That oof means get away. Right? So the height of aggression used for these people that were in this wrong. Uffil lakum wa lima ta'buduna min dunillah. Right? So you see the accord. The accord is explained in the words of Ibrahim al-Islam, recorded by Allah Ta'ala in the pages of the Quran Sharif. So any more truth can you get into this? By Ibrahim al-Islam, spoken in the Quran Sharif, by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So any more truth can you get? وَمَا ذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. مَا ذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. After the truth, if anybody talks about anything else, then this is absolute wrong. It's trash. مَا ذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. If anybody talks about anything against this now, then there's nothing but falsehood, it's trash, it's rubbish. Can you see the word of the Quran? مَا ذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. Now this was the Abrahamic accord, right? Now again, now look at the accord of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What he lived for, what he died for, what he thought, what he promulgated, what his ambition, what his dream was, look at that. So you saw Ibrahim alayhi salam, and awla an-nas bi Ibrahim lalladhina ittaba'u wa hadha an-nabi. So the one that was closest to Ibrahim alayhi salam was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So if you want to follow the Abrahamic accord, then look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Inna awla an-nas bi Ibrahim lalladhina ittaba'uhu wa hadha an-nabi. This Nabi, he's the closest. So then what was his accord? Isn't it fair to look into the accord in his words, recorded by the Quran Sharif, and spoken about by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, endorsed by him, and then he also made it his benchmark, made it the criterion. So now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some proposals are made to him. When they saw now that they can't contain Islam, they can't suppress it. So when they can't suppress it now we need to negotiate, learn to how to coexist. So this coexistence plan is not today, it's from that time. So this coexistence plan was proposed by them in the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the Hijrat. And now see how, see it, what a situation they may have been to make this type of proposals, you know. Really upset with Rasulullah's person. Now, this is what's happening with Islam today, because the stats are showing that Islam is growing faster than the world population rate, you know, birth rate. Islam is faster than the world birth rate. So when it's faster than the world birth rate, then is there a thing to fear or not? So they think, they're proposing, they think about 20 years, phir kya hoga? What will happen? So let's now suppress it, let's push it down. So they'll come in different ways. The idea is just to suppress Islam. Push it down. But, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ. All they want to do is to put off the light of Allah Ta'ala. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِمْ. They want to put off the light of Allah Ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ. Allah Ta'ala will see that that light is perfected. No matter وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُ. No matter how much you disgust the same. You disgust it, but it is my light. And it's my light, I will see to it that it is perfect. A minuscule reflection of the light of Allah Ta'ala is the sun. Nowhere in comparison to the Quran Sharif. Nowhere in comparison to the light of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if the whole world tried to put off the light of the sun, kya hoga? Kuch hoga. With your breath now you try to put off the light. You're making a laughing stock of yourself. So how are they going to then put off the light of Allah Ta'ala? This is just a minuscule of the reflection of the light of Allah Ta'ala. How are they going to put that off? Can't do it. About 1.5-2 months ago, or say 2-3 months ago, Afghanistan, you almost compliment them. Talk about it, compliment them. For the stance that they had taken, they put a ban to women's education. The whole world knows about it. And I say, they deserve a compliment. Something good happens for a Muslim, isn't it our duty to compliment them? Isn't it our duty to congratulate them? They took a stance that nobody could take. So, the whole kuffar world went against them. They're suppressing women's rights. They're doing... Why? Because they put a ban to women's education. They can't go to universities, they can't. So they put the whole ban. They got learned persons, everybody talk against it. Yeah, you know what? And in a case like she needs to be checked up personally, what's going to happen? You know? So it's faraz, whatever. But strangely, see, it's crashing in this way, that these same people, when they put away approximately 2.5 million Afghans for no valid reason, kill them. Right. The same that happened in Iraq, 2.5-3 million Iraqis they put away, right? Children, minor children, and old people were deprived of essentials and medical. Right? So millions of people were put away. Why? Why? Because they didn't want to throw the line. They didn't want to throw the line with them. And because of them not throwing the line, they put away 2.5-3 million Iraqis, they put away 2-3 million Afghanis. Right? Now, the world is not talking anything about that. But yes, they put a regulation against women of the world. Learned people, everybody talk against it. So, the story about 2-3 million Afghanis that's forgotten, 2-3 million Iraqis that's forgotten, the only biggest crime they've done is this, right? Because they're not recognizing that. They're not recognizing LGs, that's a big crime. There's 2-3 million that they put away, that's nothing, not a problem. In Iraq, point of God, you put them away, that's not a problem. But the problem is women's rights. See? So all these people that they killed, so were they wrong? Were they all wrong? That they had to put away 3 million here, 3 million there. Libya, how many 100,000 they put away there. Right? So all that was done, but the whole world remained silent. The world didn't speak about it. But now the world has got so much to talk about. But now, then look at the doing of Allah Ta'ala. In the midst of all this commotion, it taught me one ayat of the Quran Sharif. I was trying to look for the meaning of it. I couldn't get it. You understand the translation, but how it's applied. But in the midst of all this, there was a bust up in the royal family in England, right? So one of the brothers had to escape to relocate to America, right? Big bust up, right? So when there's a bust up here in the royal family, so the whole media's attention moved towards the bust up here. And they forgot this woman's story, you know. The whole woman's story is forgotten, right? Now, I see that it taught me one ayat of the Quran, and I was so happy that day. كلما أوقدوا نار للحرب أطفأها الله. Whenever they want to light up, incite a problem, كلما أوقدوا نار للحرب, when it's incite a problem, the Allah puts it off. See, the whole world, what a big thing, damage that they are causing, made a big noise about the media carries that. And then, this one brother had to break away from the other brother. He moved on to London. And he said some things. He said, well, the thing that he said, that whilst I was in England, that I had moved on to Afghan to participate in the war. And I killed 25 Afghanis, right? So now the whole world came out against him. How could you say something like this and all that? You know, you're not supposed to be leaking out this type of information. So the whole focus was changed. The whole focus. See that? Now they thought about the whole thing. So it reminds you, kullama awqadu nara lil harb, when they want to incite a problem, then Allah puts it off. And yuriduna liyutfi'u nur Allah bi afwahim wallahu mutimmu nuri. You want to put off the light of Allah Ta'ala, you can't, it's an impossible thing. Allah Ta'ala will see to it that light is perfected. So we are talking about the Abrahamic Accord, and then how Rasulullah SAW supported the Accord. Primarily from, you see in his stance, in his words, recorded by the Quran Sharif, given to us by Rasulullah SAW. And then Rasulullah SAW himself, how did he support the Accord? Now, it's a time where the numbers are growing. Actually, the numbers are growing, so it's creating a consternation. Fikr now. Kya karenge, kya karenge. So the numbers are growing. As the numbers are growing, as the likes of Umar is coming in, the likes of Hamza is coming in, now they're getting ghabrat now. Okay, what's happening? What's going on? Our hierarchy, the influential people, they're coming into Islam. What's going to happen to us? Ibn Rahman ibn Auf, wealthy person, merchant. And he's coming into Islam. What's to happen? So the proposal that they made to Rasulullah is a proposal of coexistence. Is a proposal of tolerance. You see, it's tolerance, what people, the tolerance card that is being pushed. That is the card that they had pushed that time, 1400 years ago. And then unfortunately, we are talking about the same card of tolerance. And then it makes you think, what is the meaning of tolerance? I'll come back to this, but what is the meaning of tolerance? So, if you are talking of algae, then I must listen to it. Listen to it. If I am talking of chastity, nikah, right? A man must marry a woman. I'm talking of that. Then that's hate speech. That's intolerance. So if you talk about male to male, then I must tolerate. But I talk about male to female and remaining chaste, not getting into immoral life, right? Then that becomes intolerance. So now then, what's the meaning of tolerance then? You know, on the one side, when you are saying it, then I must remain silent. So that's called tolerance. But if I say it, then you become intolerant. So now, what's the meaning of tolerance? It creates a lot of confusion now. So what is tolerance then? When you say it, then I must tolerate. If I say something that is intolerable, so what's the meaning of tolerance? So these words are being used, tolerance. Then the word is being used, coexist, right? But then the same card of tolerance and coexisting was played by the Quraysh 1400 years ago. So they saw that the numbers of Muslims were just increasing, multiplying, escalating. So this created a lot of concern. So they made proposals, about 5 proposals. We'll make you our undisputed leader. No dispute. All agreed, right? You don't have to go through the whole process of elections and all the wrongs that go with elections and voting. Our undisputed ruler, you'll be the undisputed ruler. You want wealth? We'll give you all the wealth of Makkah Mukarramah. And Makkah Mukarramah's wealth was not small. You know, the Battle of Badr, right? So, that thing started off, when it started off? Started off with Abu Sufyan's trade caravan returning from Sham. And you know what was that worth of the, I was working it out, it's about 5 billion. 5 billion rand. That was the worth of that caravan. So, Makkah was not a poor country, no. So that's the spin-off of Badr. But that's the story on its own. So we'll give you all the wealth of Makkah Mukarramah, all of us. And the third thing that we'll offer you, the best of girls we'll offer it to you. Then we'll give you a top medical plan, the best medical plan we'll give you. We'll call any physician, anyone, to be at your beck and call. So materially you're guarded, right? You're the unchallenged ruler, so your position and your status is secure, right? So in every respect you are secure. So these are the 4 options, wealth, woman, position, everything will offer you. So that's the proposal they are making. But in exchange of these proposals, we're asking you to do one of these 3 things. This is a code signed by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So one of 3 things want you to do. One is this, that we swap religions every alternate year. One year we make Buddha and Ram Ram, and the next year we make Rahman and Allah. So we swap religions every alternate year. One. And if this is not acceptable, the second proposal is that don't criticize and don't speak out against our gods. See, coexistence. Can you see this? Pure coexistence, pure tolerance, what they're talking about. So the first proposal, every alternate year, will swap religion, right? Second proposal is, you don't speak out against our gods. Don't say, لا تعبد الشيطان لما تعبد ما لا يسمع ولا يبصر ولا يغني عنك شيئا إني أخاف أن يمسك عذاب من الرحمن فتكون للشيطان ولي. Don't say these words. You don't conform to the Abrahamic accord. See, what? Ya Rasulullah, you don't conform to the Abrahamic accord. So all we want you to is be a good citizen, learn to coexist, tolerate us. We are the bosses in Makkah Mukarramah, we are the rulers. So just listen to us. All that we want, nothing else. And all we want, don't condemn. Do whatever you want in your prayer times, or do whatever you want. But you don't speak out against our gods. That's all we want. So we'll coexist, we'll tolerate. The third proposal was, alright, you don't want to stop religions every alternative. Yeah? Then the third proposal we ask you is just pass your hand over our idols. You know, just that one. Adopt over some of our things, like wear that type of clothing, marigold clothing, whatever, you know. Put on that saffron cloth, or just pass your hand only over the idols, nothing else you need. You don't have to worship them, nothing. But we learn to coexist, we learn to tolerate each other, we'll be a healthier, more prosperous community. So these are the proposals given by the Meccans, by the Quraysh, to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now it's interesting to see what will be the response of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if anybody is talking about coexistence and tolerance, he must understand, is he in accordance with the Abrahamic accord or the Quraysh Shaitanic accord? If anybody is talking about tolerance, he's tolerating and cooperating with Rahman or with Shaitan. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying it straight, La ta'budu shaitan. This way is satanic cult. He's saying it clearly. And he means his word. Ya abati la ta'budu shaitan. Clearly he's saying it. Did he mix up his words? Did he complicate matters? No complications. Now, on this occasion, was revealed the verses, قُلْ يَا أَيُّوَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُونَ I'm not worshipping what you worship, and وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ and nor will I worship what you worship. So, presently you can't be out. In the future, you don't have any expectations for me to coexist and for me to tolerate. You don't have any expectations of me that I coexist with you or I tolerate you. I ask you, is this clear or not? Is this distinct or not? Now, then what happens to the iman of those people that are saying tolerate, coexist, all this nonsense? I ask you, are they in conformity with their code or they have broken their code? Are these verses of the Quran clear or are they ambiguous? It's so clear, it's so clear, distinct. Then, why create this type of a situation? So, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, the father of Mufti Taqi Sahib, rahmatullahi barakatuh, right? He says, right? He says, two levels of disbelief, Allah Ta'ala has condemned through this verses, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. One is a clear, because a clear disparity, you break away clearly, right? And number two, any type of behavior that brings about a confusion, talbis, iltibas, any type of a behavior that brings about confusion and complication, that also we rule out. Can you see that? This is now the words of Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, the Mufti Azam of Pakistan at that time, the father of Mufti Taqi Sahib. Now, is there any confusion in this? Then it's recorded in Tafsir al-Qurtubi, Tafsir al-Mazhari. All of them reported the same thing. So, any confusion, any type of ambiguity in this accord now, after you understood this. But I ask you, before this, was there some complication and confusion in your minds? Before this. So, I've been saying this about a year ago, but I talk about Kulya al-Kafirun, Kulya al-Kafirun. But I think people are taking it very lightly, you know, someone looking, someone not looking. So, let me speak about it myself. And let me give it with the references. It's a reference of Ibrahim alayhi salam recorded by the Quran Sharif, given by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A court signed by Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam first, then Awlan Nasi bi Ibrahim al-Ladina taba'uhu wa hadha an-nabiy. The one that was closest to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's also signed the same accord. Both of them are on exactly the same page. And Allah Pak is declaring it. Allah Pak is saying he is the closest. Now, do you stand anywhere near when you come with coexistence and tolerating? So Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't know what is the meaning of tolerating. According to you, he didn't know what is tolerating. Then Rasulullah said new tolerance. According to you, he didn't know tolerance. Look at the other way around. This verse was revealed on that occasion. And they were asking to tolerate. They were asking to coexist. So that means Nabi Sahib didn't know tolerating. Na'uzubillah. That's what it amounts to. Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't know what is tolerating and coexisting. Today now, in the 15th century Islamic, you learnt it. So you have to teach Ibrahim alayhi salam and Rasulullah s.a.w. what is the meaning of tolerating and coexisting. So you see what fine line we're treading. And whoever is treading that line, whoever is dealing that line, see, what the Quran Sharif is saying. Quran Sharif says that لا تعبد الشيطان إني أخاف أن يمسك عذاب من الرحمن. You know, go this way here, you are getting to Jahannam. أن يمسك عذاب من الرحمن. You're getting to Jahannam and you will be an accomplice with Shaitan. فَتَكُونَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَّا. So whoever is talking this line of tolerance, whoever is talking this line of coexistence, I ask you, where is he leading people to? إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَن يَمَسَّكَ عَذَابٌ مِّنَ الرَّحْمَنِ فَتَكُونَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَّا. Can you see that? And you see in Surah Qulyai al-Kafir, is there anything that is ambiguous, anything that is not clear? It's absolutely clear that you don't get into the shirk and disbelief, you don't be with them, and you don't complicate affairs. Make it clear that this is my way, I got nothing with you, I'll break away from you. I'll move away from you. And this surah ends up so clearly. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ. I go my way, you go your way. Was it a way of coexisting? Is it concealed now? Is it ambiguous? لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينُ. Your way. The deen got about four meanings. One is jaza. Dinnaum kama dar. So it's got about four meanings. Your way. You will face the consequence of your actions. I will face the consequence of my action. So this accord is now clear. It is signed, sealed, dried and put away. Now don't complicate this again. Those that fall into this, they make tawbah. Make istighfar to Allah Ta'ala sincerely that we didn't understand this up till now. Until these verses were explained to us, right? Sometimes it happens that we get caught in something and the clear picture is not given to us. Like, Rasulullah has left the world, right? As he's left the world now, as the Sahaba Kiram are in a state of shock. Brave people like Ali, Umar, they're all in a shock state. They can't accept this. Until the bravest of them, Abu Bakr, he says to the strongest and mightiest, Umar, sit down, keep quiet. He ascends the minbar, says, Ma Muhammadun illa Rasul, Qad khalas min qabli Rasul. Sahaba Kiram says, as though we felt that verse just was revealed now. So sometimes, we are in a position that we don't reflect over the verse. But now that it's brought to us, we came to our senses. So now this قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. The correct path has come clear, has become clear from the falsehood. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. That falsehood has become clear and distinct from the truth. Now, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you hold on, then فَقَدِ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُسْقَى. You hold on to the right, then you hold on to a handhold that is unbreakable. But there's no compulsion. لا إكراه في الدين. You want to go on that way, there's no compulsion. But remember, لا إكراه في الدين. قد تبين الرشد من الغي. See, so if the path is open, you want to go this way or you want to go the other way, then هديناهم نجدين. Both the paths are open to you. قل الحق من ربكم فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر. The truth has become manifest. Right. It has become clear, right? قل الحق من ربكم فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر. You want to go on this way, you go. You want to go on the wrong way, you can go. إنا أعتدنا للظالمين نارا. Remember, we have prepared a jahannam, a nar, a fire for the zalims. So now, we understood the Abrahamic accord, right? It's clear now. Right. But now, what was the Abrahamic legacy? So what was the accord that he signed, he sealed, he lived for, right? Now, it's also interesting to know what was his legacy. And at this point, I must say, I would like anybody to come and correct me. Any Muslim that is a Muslim, right? That is a Muslim that lives for Islam, that talks Islam, that keeps Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul serving before Him, anybody to come and correct me. And I am prepared to make an open retraction, but prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, because I produced verses of the Quran Sharif to show you that how this tolerance and coexisting plan is not the plan that Allah Ta'ala's Rasul went with. And it's such a serious thing, I don't speak like this normally, but I'm inviting anybody to come and prove me wrong so that I can make a retraction. And if I'm right, then it's your duty to speak of the right. Then to conceal the right, then is a zulm in its own. If you knew the right, why don't you speak about it then? That means it will amount to this, that your allegiance to the enemy of Allah Ta'ala, إِنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ كَانُوا لَكُمْ عَدُوًا مُبِينًا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِي وَعَدُوَكُمْ. The allegiance to the enemy of Allah Ta'ala is greater than the allegiance with Allah Ta'ala, His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam. That's what it means. So we want to see where's your allegiance. On this side, on that side. Make it clear. Don't hide around behind words. Somebody will give you a fantastic word and a glossy finish, and then we hide and play around words. But we don't realize that we're destroying the iman of millions of people around the globe. I ask you, is it a fact or not? Hiding behind words, glossy words, it's a false pretense. But then what happens eventually? You think you're serving Islam, but I ask you, is there any greater disservice to Islam? So one is the accord. Then the second thing is the legacy. What was the legacy that was left behind by Ibrahim alayhi salam? إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهَدِينَ وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِيمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي أَقِبِهِ. That was the legacy. وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِيمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي أَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So we made this to be the legacy to continue amongst his people, his progeny, the world, right? And if they ever jump off the track, ever hop off the track, لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيَّ, then they know this is the track, they must come back onto it. And what was that legacy that he left? إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. I got nothing to do with your worship. Your worship, I got nothing. I broke away. إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. My allegiance is only with Allah Ta'ala. All your cult and your ways, I've broken away. My allegiance is with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I've left your cult completely. I'm on this path. And he made it a legacy to continue in his progeny, in his people, in his followers, that if they are at any point they are in a state of confusion and complication, they must come back to this path. كَلِيمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي أَقِبِي لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيَّ يَرْجِعُونَ. So you saw the accord and you saw the legacy. You saw the accord, and you saw the legacy that was left by these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, right? And then it is your duty then to speak out in clear words, don't mince the words, without using any type of diplomacy, speak out the words. And if you don't have the courage to speak out the words, say, I don't have the heart to speak out the words, but I'm not going to use diplomacy, I'm not going to mince my words, but I don't have the heart, I'm afraid what's going to happen to me. See it. One of the two. Now, you come in between and use this type of a language, I ask you, is it a service to Islam or is it a disservice to Islam? You know, it's a game that they're playing, like someone is asking, what are you? You're a man or a woman? You're a man? Not really. So that's the language they play. What? I ask you, you're a man. Not really. So what you are then? I'm just something. So that's that coexisting plan. That's the tolerance plan. So you mustn't be clear and distinct. Don't be vocal of what you are. So that's the game that is being played. And the duty now is to be clear, distinct, and I stand for this, and live for this, and I will die for this. See, at the end of Surah An'am, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. My prayer, my life, my death, all for Allah Ta'ala. وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ. I have been commanded to live this and to die like this. وَأَنَا Muslimin, I am the first person to surrender to this. To this cause here, I am the first person. See the importance. Then, now when that was the legacy left behind by a Nabi, then that becomes compulsory that every parent should leave this legacy for his child. The Nabi, and he leaves behind a legacy. So isn't it a duty now of every parent to leave a right, straight, clear legacy for his children to come? Isn't it a duty? To be straight and to leave that straight legacy for your child. That becomes a duty. And if you don't do it, then if they do wrong, then you also must bear the brunt of your wrong. You let it a little bit loose, ambiguous, not clear, and they went off then as a result of you not being straight, not being clear, not being to the point, then they went off. They went wrong, right? Then don't you bear the brunt of their wrong as well? Will you be responsible for that as well or not? So, the legacy that every parent has to leave for his child. Then, the legacy that every alim that has to leave for his crowd and his congregation. Every Muslim, and he must leave a legacy for his brothers, right? This man here, this is what he lived for, piety, etc. And we need to follow that path. So every person now, he's got an obligation. The obligation is I must be good and leave a legacy that is straight, that is clear, that is not confused, no complication. Absolutely clear. Look at the Sahaba Kiram. Look at the Awliya Kiram. And the legacy that they leave behind. Totally clear, absolute, distinct. They make themselves absolutely distinct. So that the progenies and their families after that don't get into any state of complication and confusion. Straight, clear. Just now, perhaps it was in November or something, right? November, October. So I say it's a duty of everybody, duty of a parent, of a ustad, of an alim, every person's duty to see that his legacy is clear. Don't mix it up. Every person's duty. So there was a Malabian who married a local woman, right? He converted her to Islam, and he made nikah to her. Obviously, the mother's family are still Christian. Though the wife has turned to Islam, but the extended family is still Christian. So now, the mother's family can't see this child practicing Islam, can't see the child doing it right. Some way or the other they're persuading, until one day the auntie persuaded the child, right? Gave her toffees, candies, ice cream, according what the child would like, right? Persuaded the child, gave him whatever he needed, whatever will excite him, thrill him, whatever will lure him, gave him all that, right? And then somehow, under some pretexts, she took the child to a Sunday service under the care of a pastor, right? So that child, from the time that he sat in the service, right till the end, he's crying, he's miserable. He made the whole atmosphere look miserable. He's crying, I don't want to be here, I don't want to be here. That pastor is trying to console the child, but the child is not just remaining silent. They're persuading him, Christ, and candies and money and whatever they bought. They're persuading the child. No. Anyway, the pastor brought the child back, handed him over to the father. I don't know, the first time I came across such a child, that he doesn't just want to listen, he wants to go back to the masjid to recite the kalima, to recite his surahs. Small child, 7-8 years of age. But you see, what the father put into this child here, and he put it so deep into the child, that he was brought to the most thrilling of environments, but that thing didn't shake the child. But that was on account of that father's legacy that he put into his child. So now I've got a duty towards my child. I need to see that I'm giving him the right values. Come what may after that. Because that child mustn't become a jahannam for me. I'm not going to be concerned about it. And he goes wrong. And I get into jahannam because of him. So I must try my best to see to it the right value, the iman, is set into this child. Man is Malawian. But he is so concerned. No, I must give the right value to my child. I mustn't turn him away. Talk about iman, talk about namaz, talk about the kalimas. Let that thing be entrenched deep into his heart. Make dua for the child. No matter what the circumstance may be, do it. And I tell you, that's better than all the world of what it contains. You know, the people are being offered, whoever is being offered, money, name, etc., just to have a compromising attitude, a tolerant attitude. And this child is really embarrassing us. You are talking about tolerance, you are talking about coexisting. This child is saying, no, I don't want all these things here. I feel miserable in this environment. Just keep me away from this. Take me back to the masjid. Let me recite the kalima. Let me recite my surahs. Let me go into the namaz environment. Isn't it something embarrassing for us? The child is 7 years of age, and he's a mountain of iman. And some dollars are just splashed out, or something is thrown before us, can turn this way, turn that way, anybody can manipulate us. Isn't that an embarrassment for us? Little child, little 7-year-old child, see what he's doing. So it's an eye-opener for us. It's a time now that we reflect, we think about it. And remember, the child is in your custody, in your care, for a short period. The girl is there till 17, 18, then the proposals come. Right, and then you have to just agree. She's gone. The boy 20, 22, and he's gone. Right, both life are separate now. They are separated from you. Whatever you have packaged into the child, will the child practice afterwards? You package the right thing in the child will practice the right thing afterwards. We were in Joburg just now, some months ago. So, I won't mention the Mawlana's name of it. So he related to us, you know. See how important that apa is. That apa that is teaching at the madrasa. And what a role she's serving. She knows it's my duty. said, Atma, whoever it is, Vaisrava is not an important thing. But is it that the person is delivering? Is he giving it? Is he giving it with his heart and soul? Is he giving it with all his spirit, with all his love, all his muhabbat, all the sense of responsibility that stand before Allah Ta'ala? Is he giving it with that? Then the color of that child is different. So, the woman became a doctor and she specialized. But she is giving an account, right? I don't say women should become doctors and specialized. But I'm showing you the goodness of the work of that APA and how we need to recognize it, how we need to respect it, how we need to compliment it, right? So she says, you know, I was going through my life and had some very trying moments, very extremely trying moments I had. And I was about to hang myself, right? And that last moment, when that rope was just about being suspended on my neck, you know, at that time I remembered what the APA told us in grade 4. She must have been about 10 years of age at that time. The APA told us at that time that if you're going to go this way, then you're going to be in everlasting disaster. Disaster is going to continue escalating all the time. It's not going to be the end of your misery, everlasting, continuous. You know, at that moment, that APA's words were ringing in my ears, I just kicked the chair and I was saved. And today, I got no words to thank that APA. But now, we are underestimating this thing here. No, which grade you're in. Alright. You must think about your future, you know. That's a reality here. But death is not a reality. Jannat is not a reality. Jahannam is not a reality. Yeah, that degree is a reality. That money is a reality. So we learn to speak money, to recognize money. But to recognize Islam, recognize the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the provider, He will give, that we conveniently forgot. We just deleted it from our minds. But now see this woman here. Now she is, when she is specialized, she's in a top, position, at that time she's saying, you know, I remember the words of that APA that taught me at the age of 10 or so, when I was in grade 4, you know. And the elementary thing she's taught me, if you want to do this, this is going to be the end. And that was the savior of my life. I got no words to thank this person. In Reservoir Hills, there was a person, some doctor, he passed away, right? I think about a year or 1.5 years ago, he passed away. But there were three things that were quite prominent in this doctor. He'll come walking to the masjid, even at the ripe old age. He died when he was about 90 something. But he will come regular to the masjid. And number two, he will defy all the poverty laws. I can break a man-made law, but my allegiance to my Allah Ta'ala, I can't break that. That thing was burning. He said, I can't break my allegiance to Allah Ta'ala, to His house. Come with me after that, we'll see to that. But my allegiance to the house of Allah Ta'ala, to Allah Ta'ala, I can't break that. So come with me, weather conditions, whatever, the children, the household, stop him, I'm going. My allegiance to my Allah Ta'ala, I can't break that. For the favors, for the bounties, for the health, for the wealth, for Islam, all that he's done for me, and I must break that allegiance with my Allah Ta'ala, I can't do that. Come with me. Who may tell me, whatever they may tell me, but I can't. The doctor, by the prominent person, not taking his name, but saying, no, I can't break that, I must. The second thing in him was, was very parda conscious. Very, though he's a doctor, he's to see patients, but very parda conscious. And the third thing that was quite prominent in him, wherever you see him, he's just reciting Quran Sharif. Coming early masjid, Quran Sharif. On the way, extreme Quran Sharif. Coming to the, just like a walking Quran Sharif. Now, see, the more important thing is not the standard of life that you lived. See, our concern is standard of life. Is the standard of living nice? Khawano, piwano, everything is right. Groceries are right. Food is right. So that's the main concern. The greater concern is this transition into the hereafter, is that right? Do we think about that? That abode of the hereafter, have we destroyed it or have we made it to flourish? That abode that we're going through, have we destroyed the thing or have we made it flourish? So that's the important thing. Here, one way or the other, things will work out, right? You need one loaf, you need half loaf, but something. Can anybody show me that he went one night without food and without a roof? Anybody can show me. You had a roof and you had something to eat. So now that you, by Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala just abandoned you. So his allegiance to Allah Ta'ala was too much. Eyes control was too good. The commitment that he made to namaz and masjid was too good. And then the recitation of the Quran Sharif. Now, I say the most important thing is how you move on to the next life. Not what you left behind, and how healthy you had, how much chops you had, and how much of dry you didn't eat, and how much coke you pushed in. That's not, we need today, tomorrow, what will happen to the thing? Tomorrow you don't want to see what you eat, right? Just one day, it's finished. That's a transit, right? But the important thing is how you moved on to that next life. That's the important thing. So, he'd been asking for that whole week or something, when is Tuesday? When is Tuesday? Now, children, grandchildren around him, getting a little bit ill. And I say, why are you asking about Tuesday? Why are you asking about Tuesday? Eventually, when the Tuesday came in, he says, my children, this is the best day of my life. This is the best day of my life. He must have been making dua, Allahumma ij'al khayra umuri akhirahu. Wa khayra ayyami yawm alqaqa fi. My best day. Best day that I meet you. The youngster will say, the best day you got married. By that married will come today, tomorrow is finished. The sweetness will go away. But that best day, Allah will make it the best day that I meet you. That I come to you, that must be the best day. So that's the important, that's the criteria, that's the benchmark. I made everything, made the money, had the food, went everywhere, right? Did everything. But did I try and attempt to make that day my best day? Did I turn to that? Did I ask for that? Did I cry for that? Allah says, I got everything. You pick and pay. Pay and pick it. You want that, I'll make it happen. But you have to pay for it. You pay for it. You invest for it. I'll make it happen. So he must have been making this dua, Allah, make that my best day. So now, the day that he's passing away, Tuesday, today is my best day, this day. Then he's telling his family, right? Pick some chairs, there's malaika on here, just sit them down, make them comfortable. And then he shouted out, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and his soul just departed. See that? So he invested for that day. He worked for that day. He showed his allegiance to Allah Ta'ala, his gratitude to Allah Ta'ala. You think Allah Ta'ala is not grateful? You think Allah Ta'ala is not compassionate? When you showed that allegiance, and where did he get all this? All these good values, where he got? He got at the maktab. He learned it from his apa, whoever was teaching him, he learned all these things from him. The allegiance to Allah Ta'ala. So he took it at heart. As a child he took it. And he says, no, I'll live for this. And I'll die for this. I'll live for this, make my money, alright, became a doctor. I'll make my money. But I'll live for this, I die for this. And when he lived, he showed his allegiance. And you think Allah Ta'ala doesn't appreciate. When you appreciate so much from your worker, you appreciate so much from a reliable, trustworthy employee, right? See, Allah Ta'ala doesn't appreciate this. So we need to have that conviction that Allah Ta'ala appreciates. He recognizes, right? And He will reward. In due time, in due course, He will reward. But you see where this thing stem off? Parents, and number two, parents leave that good legacy and that apa or that star that was teaching him at the basic level, formative years, they passed on the right value. If they passed on the right value, this man said, no, I'll keep this in the cornerstone of my life. I'll live for this. I'll die for this. So I ask you, was this better or his life as a doctor was better? His going with this, in this stage was better or for all the money that he accumulated? He said, no, hey, I won't bargain for it. With anything for this. At this stage you ask him, and he's saying it, that this is my best day of my life. I was shocked when I heard it from his family member, that What came in the hadith, he spoke about it just at the time of his death. My best day of my life. Best day, I can't find a better day. So it is the duty of every father, every parent, to leave that legacy, to pass it on. Like we are concerned about the material, right? Then greater is the concern about the spiritual. If the material is important, the spiritual is much more important. If the material has got a life, then the spiritual got a life long. So one is to pass on the legacy, and number two is, after you have passed on the legacy, to pass on the values to this child. With sweetness, with love and muhabbat, right? The Surah Qasam is demonstrating it. One is to teach it, to apply it to the child. Rejoice with the children, give them ice cream, whatever, chocolates. But teach them also. Nabi Sam is seated his adopted child, Amr ibn Abi Salama, right? Umm Salama's child, not his child. But the love that he shows, that child remembers it right at his advanced age. When I was a child, 5 years of age or something, right? And, you know, I don't know about the etiquette of eating. So with what love, Rasulullah Sam sat me, is this, sit, come and sit. With love, with compassion. And then he says, Kul bi yameenik, eat with your right. Sammillah, say Bismillah. Kul mimma yaleek, eat from in front. This child remembers this at the advanced age. So this requires, what is, you teach and you apply it. But that the teaching and the application is with love, with kindness and mahabbat. At that advanced age also, he hasn't forgotten what Rasulullah SAW has taught him. So it becomes a duty for a parent, for an ustad, for an elder, to acquire the good values, to teach it, and to see to it that his children apply the same. Right? You got your child in an important position in a shop, right? You taught him business concept. You just leave it like that, or you see that he's applying it rightly. You told him 2 plus 2 is 4. You see now, as he's receiving the money or giving the change, he's giving it right or not right. Don't you see to it? Exactly the same. To teach them and to see that they are applying themselves correctly.